I am Pierre Lumumba here in the middle of the city of Nairobi in the Republic of Kenya as we continue our conversations about iconic African heroes. Today, we focus on a great Zambian, Kenneth David Kaunda. Kaunda, he is iconic and he begins to enter the political arena of what today is known as Zambia in 1949 when he offers himself as an interpreter for a white man called Stewart. Subsequently, in the late 1940s and early 1950s, Kenneth Kaunda joins the African National Congress. At that time, what is present-day Zambia is known as Northern Rhodesia and is governed by the British in what was then an attempted confederation covering Northern Rhodesia, which is now Zambia, Southern Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe, and Nyasaland, which is now Malawi. Kaunda joins the ANC, but he is not convinced that the ANC is moving in the right direction. And it is important to distinguish that the ANC is in Zambia is not the same ANC as in South Africa. Subsequently, in 1958 and 1959, Kaunda moves away from the ANC and founds the Zambia Africa National Party. And the Zambia ZAPU is a party that is designed to focus on the interests of Africans. And Kaunda begins to agitate, but it must be remembered that Kaunda was the quintessential Christian who wants everything to be done peacefully. But he engages in agitation, and for that reason, he is arrested. And when he is arrested and is released in January 1960, he comes out of prison and finds that a new party has been formed by a man called Moinza Chona, the United National Independence Party, UNIP. Kaunda joins the party. And when he joins the party, immediately he is recognized for what he is, a nationalist of a unique kind. And the British also recognize that he is one who ought to be given pride of place. And together with greats such as Simon Mwansa Kapwepwe, they begin the process of the struggle for independence from a different perspective. In 1962, Kenneth David Kaunda is invited to London for the beginning of the negotiations of the possible independence of Northern Rhodesia. And the British at that time want to create a federation. And this federation is a federation which, as I've already indicated, is going to put together Northern Rhodesia, is going to put South Rhodesia and Nyasaland. But Kaunda objects. And in this objection, he is supported by Kamuzu Banda of Nyasaland. He is also supported in this objection by Joshua Nkomo and Robert Mugabe. And in 1964, Zambia regains her independence and the country is renamed Zambia. Many people wonder why Zambia. The country is renamed Zambia after the Zambezi River. And the Zambezi River derives from the word Zambiana. And Kaunda therefore becomes the first president of Zambia and begins the process of improving the quality of people's lives. One of the things that Kaunda is remembered for is that he nationalizes the copper mines. And unfortunately, at that time, there is too much focus on copper and agriculture is neglected. And when he nationalizes the mines, the price of copper is at a world high. and the people of Zambia begin to enjoy the dividends of the copper mining. But after a short while, the prices of copper begin to go down, and the economy of Zambia begins to go down. And because of that, a number of things are happening. There is also the Cold War, and a number of countries are now made to choose whether they are pro-Soviet Union at that time or pro-China. But Kaunda does a unique thing. He is at that time a great friend of Julius Kambarage Nyerere. What he does is to enter into negotiation for the construction of the Tanzania-Zambia Railway, the Tazara. The Tazara is a railway that then links Zambia through New Kapirimposhi through to Dar es Salaam and becomes the artery via which Zambia exports her produce. The loan is from China, and of course, as is typical of the Western world, they accuse Kaunda of being a communist because he has accepted money from the Chinese. And as that is happening, Kenneth Kaunda also becomes a Pan-African freedom fighter. He offers Lusaka, Zambia, as the base of many independence fighters. The South Africans are there, Oliver Tambo is there, the Angolans are there. Lusaka therefore becomes, in the minds of many, the mecca for freedom fighters. So much so that everybody who is seeking refuge and running away from Southern Rhodesia is in Lusaka. The fighting that is being waged by ZANU PF and ZAPU is from Zambia. The fighting that is being waged against the apartheid regime is from Lusaka. And indeed, because of his activities, many times Lusaka is bombed by the Ian Smith regime in Rhodesia, and also bombed by the apartheid regime of John Vorster and Pik Botha. And because of his activities, he becomes a part of the frontline states. And those frontline states, together with Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere, of course, Kaunda is under siege. So much under siege internally that in 1972, he is seen as being authoritarian when he makes UNIP the only party in Zambia, and he coins the phrase, one Zambia, one nation. And he also comes up with a political philosophy called humanism. And when he talks about humanism, it must be seen in the context at that time when great Pan-Africanists are coming up with different political ideologies. Nyerere in Tanzania has Ujamaa. Apollo Milton Obote in Uganda has the Common Man's Charter. Here in Kenya, we also have a dalliance with Session of Paper number 10 of 1965. And humanism is Kaunda's philosophy. And when he is asked, what is humanism? Humanism, he says, is the political philosophy where people respect themselves and respect God, and they do things that are in the interest of their country and in the interest of God. Kenneth Kaunda remains in power, and unfortunately, when the Berlin Wall collapses and there is agitation, and like Julius Nyerere, who retires in 1985, Kenneth Kaunda does not retire, and there is a coup attempt against him in 1990, and the agitation continues until 1991 elections. The movement for multi-party democracy of Frederick Chiluba removes him from power. And when he leaves office, his troubles begin. His troubles begin because, number one, the Chiluba administration says that Kaunda is not a Zambian. Kaunda is a Malawian. It is true that Kaunda's father was born in Nyasaland, present-day Malawi. It is true that the boundaries that were imposed by the European powers is what creates the distinction between Malawi and Zambia. In 1996, he is accused of having attempted a coup against Chiluba and is held in prison for 5 months and 7 days. And he says at that time, I will not shave my hair until Chiluba tells me why he put me in prison. And in 1998, when he's six, he attempted actually in 1996 to contest the election, but he was banned because they said he was not a Zambian. In 1998, the court declares that Kaunda was not Zambian and that he had held the office of the president and all other offices illegitimately. And in 1999, all those court decisions are reversed. And Kenneth Kaunda dies in the year 2021. Kenneth David Kaunda was a great man. He was a great man because, number one, he ensured that Zambia regained our independence. Number two, Kenneth Kaunda ensured that there was no ethnicity in the conduct of politics in Zambia. He was a pan-Africanist because during his time, he ensured that the freedom fighters from South Africa, from Zimbabwe, from different parts of Africa like Angola and Namibia were present in Zambia. He made Zambia the mecca of freedom fighting. He was a pan-Africanist. He was one of the iconic leaders who repeated the mantra of the Osagie for Kwame Nkrumah that Africa must unite. He was an internationalist because he believed in humanity. He was a humanist because he believed that all human beings have the right to live in dignity. He was a great man. He was a selfless man. When Greg Mills writes his book, says of him that of only three African leaders, he can say that they were completely without corruption. And he says one was Ahmed Sekou Toure of Guinea, the other one was Julius Kambarage Nyerere of Tanzania, and the last one was Kenneth David Kaunda. Indeed, when he left office in 1990s, they tried to find out if he kept money anywhere in the world. And it was discovered that after 24 years in power, he had only $8,000 in his account. He was a paragon of virtue. He was the personification of selflessness. He was a man who was simple to the core. History will remember Kenneth David Kaunda as an icon. History will remember Kenneth David Kaunda as a pan-Africanist. History will remember Kenneth David Kaunda as one of the greatest men who ever walked the surface of this earth. Kenneth David Kaunda, that great Zambian, is dead, but his spirit is alive today and forever. We celebrate Kenneth David Kaunda.